On behalf of Consistory, a warm welcome is extended to everyone worshiping with us and those live streaming with us. According to government regulations, we are using 30% of our capacity. This morning, we have the privilege of witnessing the profession of faith of four of the Covenant youth, Aaron Brower, Rihanna Haig, Hunter Lindy, and Allie Westervelt. We pray that by the grace of God and through the power of the Holy Spirit, these young people will continue in this profession all the days of their life. This morning, Reverend Vinoles will proclaim God's word to us from Ephesians 5, 1 through 14, the text being Ephesians 5, 1 through 7. The title of the sermon is, Be Imitators of God, Walk in Love. Our pre-service songs are number 72, 1 through 3 from the Psalms, and hymn number 438. As we worship today, may His Spirit work within us.
Thank you. call to worship this morning are these words from Psalm 22. A posterity shall serve him. It will be recounted to the Lord to the next generation. They will come and declare his righteousness to a people who will be born, that he has done this. Let's go to our God in a moment of silent prayer. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of the heavens and the earth. Receive now God's greeting, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's continue to praise our God together in song by turning to number 36, all the stanzas of number 36.
Thank you.
Let's listen now carefully to God's will for our daily lives, where God speaks to us with these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that's in heaven above, or that's in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house, not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, his female servant, his ox, his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. And Jesus summarized the law with these words, saying, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment, and the second is like unto it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Our assurance of pardon this morning comes to us from 1 John chapter 4, beginning at verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Let's respond in song by turning to number 440, the four stanzas of 440. I invite you now to turn with me to the form for the public profession of faith. My edition of the Psalter hymnal is one page 132 in the back. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank our God concerning you for the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus, that you were made desirous of professing your faith publicly here in the presence of God and His holy church, and of obtaining the privileges of full communion with the people of God. And so I would ask the young adults now to come forward at this time to answer the following questions. First, do you heartily believe the doctrine contained in the Old and the New Testament, in the articles of the Christian faith, and taught in this Christian church, to be the true and complete doctrine of salvation? And do you promise, by the grace of God, steadfastly to continue in this profession? Second, do you openly accept God's covenant promise, which has been signified and sealed unto you in your baptism? And you confess that you abhor and humble yourself before God because of your sins, and that you seek your life not in yourselves, but only in Jesus Christ your Savior. Third, do you declare that you love the Lord, and that it is your heartfelt desire to serve Him according to His word, to forsake the world, to mortify your old nature, and to lead a godly life? Fourth, do you promise to submit to the government of the church, and also, if you should become delinquent either in doctrine or in life, to submit to its admonition and to its discipline? Before God and congregation as witnesses, Aaron Brower, what is your response? Brianna Haig. Hunter Lindy. Allie Westerveld. I charge you then, beloved, that you, by the diligent use of the means of grace and with the assistance of your God, continue in the profession which you have just made. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, I now welcome you to full communion with the people of God. Rest assured that all the privileges of such communion are now yours. And the God of all grace, who called you into His eternal glory in Christ, after that you have suffered a little while, shall Himself perfect, establish, and strengthen you. To Him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Normally at this time, we would present to you two books. It's a tradition of this church to present two books. One is a devotional, and one is a resource book. And so this year, what we have decided to do is a devotional book. The book is Christ's Psalms, Our Psalms. So it has a morning and an evening devotional on each of the psalms. And so that was written also by various Canadian Reformed ministers. So we hope that you can use it and, yeah, be strengthened and encouraged in your daily walk with the Lord. The second book is called Growing in the Gospels, Sound Doctrine for Daily Living. It's by Dr. Jason Van Vliet, who is a seminary professor at the Canadian Reformed Theological Seminary. And it gives a beautiful summary of all the primary teachings of God's holy word. So it's a very good resource to be used for Bible study and also for your personal reading and edification. This time, I would like to invite Hendrik de Jong on behalf of Consistory to come forward to offer some encouraging words.
So ordinarily, we would invite you to stand in the back and all of us can give you a word of encouragement. Due to the times we live in, we've chosen to do it this way, and I would like to encourage you on behalf of your parents, grandparents, siblings, the whole congregation with these words from Proverbs 23, verses 15 and 16. And this is a father speaking to his son. My son, if your heart is wise, my heart will rejoice, indeed, I myself. Yes, my inmost being will rejoice when your lips speak right things. And those right things it speaks about is, of course, the faith that you have just confessed, that Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior, and that through him, of whom our Lord said at his baptism, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. With those words and also the rich promises that the Lord has given you in your baptism, and you profess now that you cling to them and accept them also, we want to wish you congratulations also that you have come to this point, and may the Lord continue to bless you all your life.
We also have a tradition of assigning some special passages for each of you. For Aaron, I've chosen Psalm 128, 1-2. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. Brianna, Psalm 18, verse 2. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Hunter from Micah 6, verse 8. He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Ali from Psalm 73, verse 28. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all your works. And these passages are also in the certificates that are in your devotional books. You may be seated. With joy and thanksgiving to God, let's respond in song by turning to number 314. Let's stand to sing all the stanzas.
Oh,
go to our God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that Thou hast from the beginning embraced in Thy covenant the children together with their parents. We thank Thee that Thou from the first didst cast the lot of these Thy servants in the Christian church and didst grant them all the manifold blessings of Christian culture. We bless Thee that in their case Thou didst add the special grace of Thy Holy Spirit so that of their own will they came here today to profess Thy truth and to consecrate their lives to Thy service. We earnestly beseech Thee that Thou wilt continue to carry on the good work Thou hast begun in them unto the day of complete redemption. Increase in them daily the manifold gifts of Thy grace, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Grant them the happiness of promoting the glory of their Lord and the edification of His people. Deliver them in the temptations of this life and in the final trial of death. And in that day, when Thou makest up Thy jewels, set also these Thy servants in Thy crown, that they may shine as stars to Thy praise forever and ever. Heavenly Father, it's truly with joy and thanksgiving that we could witness what we did as a congregation here this morning, the manifestation of Your grace. And oh, Heavenly Father, it is truly, we sing for joy and thanksgiving for this milestone in these young people's spiritual journey. And it is a journey in many ways that is just beginning. And so we thank You for the path that You have set them on already as children born to believing parents, receiving the promises of Your covenant promises, to be taught and trained in the fear of the Lord. And so, Heavenly Father, again, to You be the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank You for the privilege of being together to worship, to gather together in Your most holy name to worship You, the Almighty God. We thank You that You are forever our God and always with us. We see that in all of our lives. All of us are going through things in life. Life is a journey. You know our situation, our circumstances, because You ordained them. Nothing comes to You as a surprise. As we continue to live day by day, trusting in Your sovereignty and good providence that You will provide for all things that we stand in need of, both physically and spiritually. Lord, we thank You for Simon Longerap, that he continues to make good progress and that You have upheld him, that he may continue to be in good spirits, knowing that his life is in Your hands as far as the future and what that may look like and where that will lead him. We do not know, but he knows one thing for sure, that his future is in Your hands. He takes great comfort and delight in that very truth. Lord, we continue to uphold before You Jim and Kathy Hennemeyer, the struggle and the realities of cancer that are before them. We ask for an extra measure of grace to uphold and to sustain them, for Kathy, perseverance from day to day in dealing with the consequences of that cancer in her life in terms of her mobility and strength. So, Lord, continue to be their hope, their strength. We continue to pray for little Oliver, sick kids, and Mac. Lord, we know, too, that our children are precious in Your sight. And we thank You that he's under not only the care of doctors and nurses, for which we are thankful, for their skills, for their technology. But Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your constant care. That You are God who neither slumbers nor sleeps, that You are the God who provides for His needs, and Lord, that things are progressing as well as can be expected, and for that we give You thanks. We know that our precious lambs are precious also in Your sight. If You have Our Lord Jesus has summoned us to bring our little ones to you, to be blessed by you. And so we bring also little Oliver before you to receive your blessing and strength. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would cause us to realize again this past week, this day, this morning already, our own sinful nature. It's a battle to fight against our flesh. Lord, we also very thankful that by acknowledging our sin that we can go to you and ask for forgiveness through the blood of thy Son, Jesus Christ. And that you are merciful, God, and that you will forgive us. Now we can live in the joy of knowing that we are forgiven, that the sins are washed away, and that you will remember them no more. What a blessing that the burden and the weight, the guilt of sin, is not something that we carry along with us. But Lord, we bring it to the cross and we leave it there, which enables us to live as new creations in Christ to your honor and to your glory. Heavenly Father, receive now in this time of worship our praise and our thanks. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. For a song of preparation, let's turn now to number 278, the three stanzas of 278. Turn with me now in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. Read verses 1 to 7, which are also our text for this morning. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. So far the reading of God's holy word. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, have you ever heard the expression, the apple didn't fall far from the tree? Or, he's a chip off the old block? Or, he or she is a spitting image of their father or mother? These are expressions that are often used to describe how our children resemble their father or mother in their looks, in their mannerism, character, and even in their conduct. But let me ask you this morning, can it also be said of you and I that we are mirror images of our Heavenly Father? Can it be said of you and I that our characteristics, our attitude, our conduct are similar to that of our Heavenly Father? Is it readily apparent to others that we are children of the Father? Back in chapter 4, the Apostle Paul stresses the importance of our Christian walk. In chapter 4, verse 1, we read, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. And in the rest of the chapter, he describes for us what that walk with the Lord is looking like. We are to walk as children of the Father, no longer walking as Gentiles walk, but to live a life worthy of the calling. In other words, worthy of those who are elect in God. The fact that someone claims to be a Christian must be evident not merely by their public profession of faith, a profession made with the mouth, but most importantly, one's profession of faith must also be made 24/7. How? By their daily walk with the Lord. As children of our Father, we must bear a likeness to our Heavenly Father. As image bearers of God, we are called to be like God. What does that look like? Well, God answers that question in our text for this morning. And so let's proceed under the theme, be imitators of God, walk in love. Noting, first of all, the command, secondly, the challenge, and thirdly, the consequences. First one begins with, if every Bible's open, with a therefore. Now, therefore, automatically connects what follows with what has just preceded it in chapter 4, and especially the preceding verse, verse 32. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Children of the Father ought then to be like, just like, their Heavenly Father. How? By their kindness, tenderheartedness, forgiving. Verse 1 then continues with a command that is given no less by God Himself. Therefore, having now described the daily walk, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. The word translated here as imitator is from the Greek word meaning to mimic or to copy. And as much as we might resemble our earthly fathers and mothers, we might be just like them in terms of character or mannerism or even conduct. The understanding here, congregation, is this, that God is calling you and I to a higher standard. Not just to be imitators of our earthly parents, but of our Heavenly Father. Notice, too, that to be imitators of God involves much more than to think about God, to admire God, or to adore God. True, all these things are vital. All these things are good and necessary. But more than that, we are called to copy Him, to mimic Him. So before proceeding, let me just comment that God is, of course, much more than just an example, isn't He? But that is not to deny the reality that He is also our example. He is our example inasmuch as we are commanded here in our text by God Himself to be imitators of God. And the command is not something new. Listen to what we read in Deuteronomy 7, 6 to 8. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for Himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. The Lord did not set His love on you nor choose you because you were more in number than any other people, for you were the least of all peoples. But because the Lord loves you and because He would keep the oath which He swore to His fathers. And then in verse 9, it says, therefore, know that the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love Him and keep His commandments. The tie that binds congregation, our unity in God, is the love of God, isn't it? God's love for us and our love for Him. Those who do not love God, who do not keep His commandments, they will be cut off by God. They have broken fellowship with God by their disobedience, by their hardness of heart, by their lovelessness toward God. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talks about loving our enemies. And then He issues the command in Matthew 5, 48, therefore, you shall be perfect. Perfect. Just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Here again, we find that call, or stronger yet, we're given a command by Jesus Himself in the Sermon on the Mount to be perfect. To be perfect how? In the context of that, perfect in our love, even our love to our enemies. In 1 Peter 1, 15 to 16, Peter echoes the command given by God that's in the Old Testament book of Leviticus. But He who has called you, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy. Why? For I am holy. God demands from us, His covenant children, a very different way of life, doesn't He? We must be holy. That is, we have been set apart by God for God. We are to be in the world, but not of the world. We are to be imitators of God as those set apart by God, as those called to be holy. But in order to be more like God also presupposes that we know God. We can't imitate, we can't mimic or copy God if we don't know Him. Therefore, to know God, and again, it's a special exhortation to those who have just made public profession of faith this morning, to be imitators of God, to have that daily walk with the Lord. You have to know Him. That's for all of us. And to know him, you have to study his word. Profession of faith is not a graduation class from catechism. It's just the beginning in many ways, isn't it? You still need to be in the word more than ever. Do you think Satan is happy what he heard this morning? Who's going to be knocking on your doorstep? Where do the temptations and trials come from? So you got to stay firmly rooted in the word. You got to make time for personal devotions. All too often we hear from people again and again, yeah, you know, I my personal devotions are somewhat lacking. How can that be? Yeah, we're busy. Yeah, busy. So we don't have personal devotions. The thing that we sacrifice is our time with God. In the busyness of life, shouldn't we be spending more time in devotions? In the wackiness of the world in which we live, shouldn't we all the more be spending time with the Lord? And we need to be spending quality time. I'm not talking about just mealtime devotions. I'm talking about quality time, reading, praying, meditating on God's word. We need to be under the word and the faithful preaching of God's word twice every Lord's Day. Especially for the young people, our friend choice is so important, isn't it? 1 Corinthians 15:33 warns us, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. And yet, congregation, the more that we come to know God, we will quickly discover how impossible it is to be just like him, isn't it? And yet, this is God's command. It's not an option. But how is that possible, you say? How? Only by the grace of God and through the power and working of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and lives. As those who have been born again by the Holy Spirit, given new hearts, given the gift of faith by which to believe Jesus Christ as our Savior from sin, now be imitators of God by grace through the Spirit of God. As those filled with the Spirit, now walk by the Spirit. As those redeemed in Christ Jesus, freed from a life of slavery from sin and death, we must now live. How? As those redeemed by Christ, as new creations in Christ, serving Christ as our Master, who is our King. We are children of the Father. And that's all of grace. That's all through the work of the Holy Spirit. And now the command is given to you and I. Be imitators. Be imitators. And particularly walk in love. What does that require? It requires prayer, doesn't it? Much prayer. We can't do it on our own strength. Listen to what we read in 1 John 4, verse 12. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. And then jumping ahead to verse 16. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. And then jumping ahead again to verses 19 to 21. We loved him because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Beloved the Lord, what is the one characteristic of God that stands above all the others throughout all of Scripture, again and again and again? The love of God. And He commands us to love Him and to love others, to be imitators of His love. Admittedly, if we look at our own relationships and we look in our own heart, we're not always that loving towards others. We don't always imitate God's love. One author put it this way, he says, throughout history, it seems that the church has found it difficult to be loving. It's easier to be orthodox than to be loving, and easier to be active in church work than to be loving. Yet the supreme characteristic that God demands of His people is love. Sad but true, isn't it? How is it that we profess to be Christians, that we can be actively engaged in the life and the activities of the church, and yet be unloving towards others who are of the household of faith? They are, and we are to one another, brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. How can we be unloving towards those whom God loves? How can we be unloving towards those for whom Jesus laid down His life on a cross for their salvation as much as for mine? How's that even possible? If we are truly filled with God's love, it is impossible. And we must love one another as God loves us. And God is love. But what is love? The world has such a very distorted view of love, doesn't it? And so we turn again to the Scriptures. 1 Corinthians 13. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Love is defined here, congregation, not as a noun, but a verb. What's a verb? A verb is an action. Is something that it does. Love is defined here in Scripture as that most blessed manifestation of the very character and nature of God Himself. That's the power of that definition. We see the love of God revealed in sending His Son to die for our salvation. For God so what? He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We see that biblical definition of love best through God's love towards you and I as sinners. We see that love demonstrated so beautifully through the love of Christ, who willingly sacrificed His life on a cross for our salvation. Therefore, we are to love. And here, Christ is much more than an example, but He is an example, isn't He? As it says in verses 1 to 2, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Where do we see the love of God? In Christ. In the cross. Paul says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Paul describes the love of Christ that led him to offer his life as what? As an atoning sacrifice. It was a sweet-smelling aroma to God. And so too, our life of love is to be a sweet-smelling aroma, a sacrifice to our God. A life of love pleases our God. To us the command is given, be imitators of God and walk in love. Congregation, love as the Father loves. He sent His Son. Love as the Son loves, sacrificially denying Himself and laying down His life. See in the love of the Son, the love of the Father. And now, see the love of His children. It's quite a standard, isn't it? It's quite a standard. Second, to be imitators of God's love is no doubt a great challenge. A challenge, why? Because of our own sinful nature. We're not always so loving. A challenge because we know that Satan is on the prowl. Whenever God gives a command, Satan's going to be in there for the kill, to be that destructive force and power. And so the command given to imitate God is followed with a challenge, isn't it? But fornicators and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. These are vices, congregation, that Satan wants to substitute for a Christian's walk of love. He wants us to think that love is to be found in free and illicit sex outside the bonds of marriage, premarital sex, common law relationships, and all the other kinds of relationships that God condemns in His Word. He wants us to think that love is to be satisfied in pornography. He wants us to tempt us with immoral thoughts, passions, and fantasies. He blurs the distinction between what love is and what is lust. He cons us into believing that obscene and perverted talk is perfectly normal and acceptable. He wants us to believe that coarse jesting is simply harmless fun, innocent bantering. After all, everybody does it. Don't be such a killjoy. Don't be such a stick in the mud. Lighten up. Satan's counterfeit love is the reason for the escalating immorality and the perversions cited here in our text, which are evident not only in the world, but live also among us within the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. Satan's counterfeit love leaves one feeling empty and bankrupt. What a contrast from God's love, a love of service. A love of action, a love that mimics the love of the Father and the Son. What a contrast from the definition of the biblical definition of love in 1 Corinthians 13. Living in the world and because of our sinful nature, because of the weakness of the flesh, congregation, it will be a challenge to love as the Father loves. To love as the Son loves, to love the things that God loves, and not to be deceived by the wiles and the schemes of the devil. The challenge for each and every one of us is to be aware and to beware of the cheap imitations of love that Satan offers in the world today. And thirdly, the command to be imitators of God. To live a life of love becomes all the more serious when we consider the consequences in verses 5 to 7. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of God and Christ. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them. Here we know, congregation, the seriousness of God's command and the challenge that is before us. There are those, very simply, who will not inherit the kingdom of God. How can we identify them? By their walk. They do not walk as imitators of God. They do not live a life of love. They do not follow the example of Christ, but imitate Satan, the father of lies and deception. They walk according to the patterns of this world. They walk in the lust of the flesh. And anyone who does not imitate God, but follows Satan, the world and the flesh, the warning is given, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. As imitators of God, congregation, there is no place for immorality among us, for filthy talk, coarse jesting. And yet when we sin, as inevitably we will, we must truly examine our hearts and ask for God's forgiveness. We must imitate God and to live a life of love. And congregation, understand, the striving is not just a matter of, well, you got to try harder. No. The striving is a yielding evermore to the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God who gave you a new heart so that you could live a new life in Christ. It's a striving rooted in our identity as children of the Father. We are image bearers of God. That's what motivates our striving. We are new creations in Christ Jesus. It's a striving in faith, believing as we do that body and soul, in life and in death, we belong to our faithful Savior Jesus Christ. He's redeemed us. We're His children. Children of love. The striving for flows out of this vertical relationship we have with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Oh, people today may tolerate sexual immorality, but rest assured, God doesn't. People today may dismiss foul language and laugh at filthy jokes. But rest assured, God isn't amused and He's certainly not laughing. In fact, God says all such people who remain unrepentant, and there's the warning, will not inherit the kingdom of God. And how funny is that? So too, our government may accept and tolerate sexual immorality. God gives to you and I a different standard, doesn't He? Let's not be deceived by the world's rapidly changing view of morality, because God's view of morality and His standards for you and I have not changed in His Word. Friends of the world, imitators of Satan, will not inherit the kingdom of God. There's no way to sugarcoat it. In fact, Scripture says, do not even be partakers with them. More than ever, God's warning against ungodly, unholy living needs to be taken seriously, not just by those who have made public profession of faith here this morning, but by every Christian, the young and the elderly alike. Why? Because our failure to do so has serious consequences, doesn't it? As children of the Father, we must distinguish and define ourselves from those of the world. What was the prayer, that last line in the profession of faith? That we may shine as stars. Shine as stars. How? As imitators of God. Imitators of His love. Amen. Let's pray. Our gracious God and Father, we thank you for your word. The challenge applies to the church, the days of the Apostle Paul, as much as it does today. So, Heavenly Father, empower us by your grace and through the work of the Holy Spirit to be imitators of God. We can't do this on our own. You give us the means, but you also give us the ability by your grace and through the power and working of the Holy Spirit. As those whom you have chosen, you've called us to live a different life, to be imitators of God. And so, Heavenly Father, we pray, bless us in our daily walk. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn now in our Psalters, number 329. 329. I have all the stanzas. I know it's maybe a little bit later, but I didn't know which one to leave out, so they're all good. offerings for this morning will be taken at the doors as you exit, and the offerings for this morning are for the church as well as for Shalom Manor. Let's now turn to number 449, the three stanzas of 449. Lift our hearts to God and receive His parting blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace.